you ain't old school, you're not gonna know what this beat is. This is Steel & Cross, Sweet Green Fields. If you heard this beat before, it's because Busta Rhymes used it and Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Could See. That's where that beat comes from. I think if you love hip-hop or 90s old school hip-hop, it's fun to look at the samples and find the samples where they pull the music from. It's fun. I like it. There's Instagram channels that provide you with the samples of your favorite rappers or whatever. It's a perfect tool to kind of detoxify yourself from rap by finding these samples. I don't even know if they use samples anymore. The beats are so all over the place, and it ain't even matching up with the rap. It's just a bunch of gibberish on top of beats that's going almost like 140 BPMs per minute. Like it doesn't even resonate into your ears the way as music should. It's literally garbage that you new kids are listening to. So if you ever want to detoxify yourself from hip hop or rap, finding out the samples is the coolest way to do that. Yeah, there's hip hop and lo-fi, but I love finding out the samples and listening to the beat and how it was used in the original songs. And most of those songs, as hilarious as it is, most of those songs were love songs that they took those beats and made it into gangster music, gangster hip hop. But anyway, like I said, I always talk about on this show how everything's pulled from something. Is always an original content if you dive deep into something. It's like that with everything. No matter if it's religion, any doctrine, or any mystery school, it all comes from somewhere. That's really how you really beat this system. Just if you're not even into like trying to find out the Most High and search for his kingdom and his wisdom, fine. If that's not your thing, that's not your thing. But if I were you, and I'm coming into this awakening, and I'm coming into the symbolism and numerology, shred everything down. That's what you should do. Shred everything down to where they get it from. I guarantee you, it's going to lead you right to Yah anyway. You're going to trip and fall into this kingdom if you take my advice and try to strip everything down that you believe in. I have friends. They're in numerology. They send me, the numbers. I saw a post on a girl that I follow that she talks about the truth. She talks about Hollywood and all that. She's not into scripture, but she talks about Hollywood and the same things I talk about. And she posted a tweet. This girl said that being into astrology got her closer to God. It made no sense, but it was hilarious to me because if she truly shredded that astrology, looking at the stars and the numbers and the Gregorian calendar. And the funny thing is, the Gregorian calendar is so young. How can you base astrology on the Most High? Because what was he using? What was Yahusha using? What was the Magi and the old school prophets in those days? What were they using? You think they were using the Gregorian calendar? You think they were using the 12 zodiac signs? No. The translations, the Greek translations, made it appear that we were into astrology. But if you go all the way down to Enoch, if you shred it down, astrology and numerology, if you go all the way back to Enoch, Azazel was teaching. Him and the fallen angels were teaching astrology, teaching the movement of the stars, the sun, the moon. Everything man has known he's gotten from the fallen angels. Very simple. So whatever the fallen angels obviously have more knowledge than we do, came down and cohabitated with women, had babies and blah, 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 blah. But they shared that knowledge, just like they shared the medicines and how to heal ourselves. It's the same thing with weapons. Everything we know came from the fallen angels. We not that smart. We really aren't. We think we are. We think all this technology is something that we brought up. That we planned, we were the blueprint of civilization. We not. We're a stupid race, dumb. If you look at the scheme of this earth, everything is very simplistic. Shredded it down, it's very simplistic. All we had to do, literally, is get together, have babies, be married, and worship the Most High. That's literally the most basic plan that could get you into the kingdom. But because of the fallen angels, we believe in stones and crystals, astrology. That wasn't even really around, or the zodiac signs weren't even really around on the calendar that we're on. Crosses, a big square block in the middle of a desert somewhere. Planets that not even planets, they're stars. Stupid stuff. Everything we think we know about this world came from fallen angels. And is even skewed to the point we truly believe this foolishness. We truly believe our own stupidity. We truly think there's something else out there. That's a lot of people have a problem detaching themselves from this system because it gives you a way out. Oh, screw up this earth. Oh, there's space. You screw up this relationship. Oh, there's four more up the block. You screw up this job. Oh, there's plenty more out there. That's all we do. We make outs for everything. Options. Nothing we create is simplistic. Everything we create has a bylaw to it, has a back door to it, has a small line that you have, the small print you have to read. Everything, that's what we do. Everything runs in a loop to trap us into our own foolishness. And we think we are outside this loop, because we find something shiny and new and don't understand that this shiny new thing has come from someplace. There's an original foundation of where this shiny new thing comes from. So it's truly nothing is ever new. I talked about movies and this new phase that we're going into where now we're introducing black men as villains. And all the black women are, for the lack of a better term, are the bedwinches to other races. I talked about Jonathan Majors, him being a villain. Guardians of the Galaxy, new trailer. Another black man, he's a villain. And then the Creed movie comes out, which is black man versus black man. But you see, the female aspect of it is, how can we use the black female to not ever be with her righteous partner or with her own people? So you have Tinkerbell, and of course Peter Pan ain't white and he ain't black. I think he's like, what, Indian or something like that. But you take Ariel from The Little Mermaid. I don't know why they made her black, but it was funny that I stumbled across Yeshayahu 29, which is Isaiah 29, and didn't even come to my mind of why the Most High would symbolically call Jerusalem Ariel. So I'm going to read you these first five verses. And I tell you, is there a reason why they made Ariel black? Because making her black, it kind of changes the aspect of what the original Ariel was about. Even down to the nation that Ariel originally comes from. We didn't make up Ariel, so why would we want Ariel to be black? But making things black, there's always a deeper meaning to where they get it from, especially with us. There's a reason why they do it. They're not doing it because they like us or because they now want to give us our chance in the sun. Did they want us to be included? No, there's always something else to it. I'm not saying this is it, but there's always something else to it. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices on the feast day. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against you round about, and will lay siege against you with a mount, and I will raise forts against you, and you shall be brought down, and you shall speak out of the ground, and your speech shall be low out of the dust, and your voice shall be as of one that has a familiar spirit out of the ground, and your speech shall whisper out of the dust. Moreover, the multitude of your strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passes away. Yeah, it should be an instant suddenly. Now, Ariel is a symbolic name for Jerusalem, which is what it says in the Sefer. And a familiar spirit is what? A demon supposedly attending and obeying a witch. So what did Ariel do when she wanted to leave her kingdom? You could say Atlantis or wherever they were from is Jerusalem. You could say Ariel is the clan of the Israelites. You could say that. What did she do? She sold her voice to a witch. So what? She can't even whisper or barely whisper. So what the Most High is saying, he said, you shall be brought down, shall speak out of the ground. And you remember the cartoon when she went to visit Ursula and all those little tiny green things. I don't know what they were, but they were like souls trapped. And they were all low on the ground when Ariel traveled through her cave to sign that contract. And what was Jerusalem's, what was our problem always? Going whoring after other people's religions. Going whoring after other people's nations. What did Ariel want to do? She wanted to leave her world to a world she knew not. She wanted to live amongst another nation. So obviously, they tell the scripture. Because what is this black Ariel wants to do? Sell her voice, sell her soul to a witch and to these other religions that we can constantly keep putting ourselves in. So we become destroyed, where she couldn't even talk. And we're like us, we can't talk. After being destroyed, we can't speak. Then I don't know where they go. They went. They could go back to the original version after that. But obviously, like I said before, they get it from somewhere. They just don't make these things up. They like to mock. And the best way to mock is to use scripture, which majority of black Americans don't know who they are. So obviously, if you use scripture, you can fool the whole entire population or the whole entire community and have no idea what they're seeing or what they're talking about. Whole time they mocking you, laughing at you, cheering, taking shots. Every time you ignorant black Americans posting videos of you watching your daughter be in awe of a black Ariel. But that's what this is. That's majority of what goes on right now. Right now, it's the ignorance and the stupidity is so high up. I know the Most High up there be shaking his head. I know the fallen angels and the watchers be up there laughing and just shaking their heads at us. Especially the black female. It's y'all's time to be completely retarded. It really is. It really is. Because you can see the truth and know the truth and still will not ever change or come into the truth unless you're knocked off your high horse. And this system puts you on a high horse. I literally watch a black female, a Kentucky Republican, not Republican, a Kentucky Democrat, talk about how God loves everybody. She literally tried to twist the Most High's words and the word and the doctrine of love in scripture that meant that we should also love those and love children, that we should allow them to have gender affirming surgeries. Why? Because what did Joe Biden say 5 or 6 days ago? That it was sinful for people to speak out or go against trans surgeries amongst children. And it's always a black female caping. It's always that in the government. Always. You do not see any black male politicians. You know they have them. You know there's a lot of black male politicians in the Democratic side. You never hear them say a word. You never hear them stand up and say, hey, I'm for transgender affirming or I'm against it. You never hear that. You always see who? Black women out front, either with a shaved head or one of those, or the Lori Lightfoot haircuts. That's what you see. You see the same thing. It's embarrassing. I don't know how black women ain't embarrassed for other black women that's in this system. I don't know how y'all not embarrassed. We don't even shame people in our community anymore. That's what we should get back to. We should get back to shaming our own people. I don't say this from a place of hurt or being upset. It's just tiresome. It weighs on your spirit to continually watch the ignorance of your own race bow down and buckle to something as dumb as not standing up for children when they're confused about their gender. And then we try to give awards for it. Then we try to give praise for it. I literally laughed when Gabrielle Union got up on stage at that NAACP Coon Award show. I literally laughed. She acted that entire script and made it seem like, oh, all these trans people are targeted and getting killed. They have not showed any statistics to show that black trans people are being targeted and killed. If they are being killed, it's because of their own stupidity and trying to hide who they truly are, and they're dating men who don't know. That's their own stupidity. If they're proud, they should tell them. But they shamed because they know the truth. They're trying to hide amongst their insecurities. And that's why I said this before. I'll keep saying it until, I don't know, until y'all come through them clouds. When pedophilia becomes legal, it would be because of the black female. Because if this system gives you a pedestal to stand on with a bullhorn, a golden, magnificent bullhorn, you'll take it, and regardless if it hurts your child or somebody else's child, you will take it. Because some odd reason, you are convinced that black men don't like you and black men don't want to exalt you. Black men are not coming back into their righteousness. Men, period, are coming into their righteousness where they're not exalting or uplifting unrighteousness. They aren't. And the more we see it, the more we laugh and mock you for it. You think it's cute? You think we hating? No, boo. We're not hating on you. We laughing at you. Because you don't want to see the symbolism. You don't want to see the numerology. You don't want to see the doctrine. You go from one tree branch to the next tree branch of specific doctrines of feminism, white feminism, black feminism, Spanish feminism. It don't matter. You'll hit that branch all the way down until you bump your skull on the foundation of where all these doctrines come from. You think you special now. But the Most High has plans for you. And if you don't turn over some type of, if you're a seed or a mustard seed, if you don't turn over some type of soil in your brain or in your soul or in your spirit, it's going to be embarrassing for you. You know how embarrassing it's going to be for you? You think this bank collapse nonsense is just going to go away? You turn on the TV and they say, oh, the bank collapsed. Oh, it's over. No. They just getting started. My page right now is shadow banned. And I know when I'm onto something is when they shadow ban both my pages. Because they know this is going to be the easiest symbolism and the easiest numerology that you'll ever be able to follow in the next week or two. But this bank collapse ain't stopping. They just getting started. And they having congressional meetings and interviews and guest interviews and special spots to manage you and try to get you to believe that it'll be all right. But I posted a video on both my pages of the people who are in an FDIC meeting laughing and joking and say, oh, we hope they don't get it. The people who ran the FDIC meeting literally said that nobody in that room or nobody in this room trust the banking system, but we want the people to trust it. And they know it's going to be a run on the bank. They know this, but they want to manage how you make a run, when you make a run, and how long for you going to be running. They want you to take what they know you're going to take the money at those community banks and put them in big banks. Now, taking that money out of the community banks does what? It sends the small businesses in default. It sends the bank into the default. And they wipe out the middle class just from fear and panic. They could pick mom and pop banks, but they're going after the top 20 banks in the world. By taking out the top banks in the world, the scared, the NPCs, the human bots, were like, oh, I got to take my money out. And I said, people, don't do it. Taking your money out and having cash on hand does what? They're going to jack those interest rates up. They're going to keep slowly moving that bar. Inflation is not going away. They're going to go into hyperinflation. They didn't start this war in, of your pockets to go backwards. To be like, all right, we'll let them breathe. No, no. We're not at a point where they're going to make us breathe anymore. They slowly pinching. So taking cash out is doing nothing. What's the point of taking cash out? Then hyperinflation hits it. Or we go to a cashless society or a blackout happens. And then you'll be like, all right, now I can put my money in one of these bigger banks. And the bigger banks say, well, we can't do that. We can't touch this money. The money's devalued. We would owe. It's already debt attached to our dollar anyway. That debt fiat currency, you take it out and get ready to put it back, they'll tell you, no, we're a cashless society now. We don't need that money. And it'll be just like Zimbabwe. It'll be like Venezuela. It'll be like Weimar Republic. It'll be like every other country who has caught hyperinflation even after or before a war or a civil war have caught it. And that money and that currency has been devalued. I'm talking about children were making kites with it, paper mache, art, throwing it in the streets in the gutter. If you wanted to move your money, if you had one of those mom and pop banks, I would suggest you moving in the top three banks, three or four banks. JP Morgan, Bank of BOA, they ain't going nowhere. They're going to be sucking up banks. JP Morgan, one off a Signature Bank failing, and Bank of America won off a Silicon Valley Bank failing. So they're sucking that money up. If I were you, I'll put the money where the big banks are. Even if you don't trust them, it's still a Masonic organization regardless of where you put your money at. A Mason's running it. I'm sorry, but that's the truth of the matter. But the point is, you might as well put your money in the hands of Masons you can tolerate, so you know they need to rely on banks failing enough for them to absorb the other bank's wealth. If you want to invest in gold and silver. They never tell you to invest in that. They always tell you to invest in stupid stuff, penny stocks or Instagram meme stocks. I don't even know what that is. Current market prices made up off of memes on Instagram or social media. They want you to invest in stuff that know there's no bottom to it, that a pitfall can happen at any time. And then people say, oh, you should put your money in Bitcoin. For what? That money ain't real neither. That is just a jump off to get you into CBDC. That's it. They've been tanking that market anytime they want to. They want you to take that money out of that bank and put it all in Bitcoin. So when they're ready to come for Bitcoin and drop more CEOs, like they've been dropping four or five CEOs of these specific Bitcoins, they waiting to do that. They love doing that. They can't wait to blood sacrifice more Bitcoin CEOs so they can absorb that wealth and that power to get ready to defraud that system. There's really nothing you can do. I don't care how smart you are. I really don't care how knowledgeable you are in Wall Street, Bitcoin, or currency in other countries. It don't matter. Because the only thing that matters at this point in time, since it's a spiritual war, is who's covered and who's uncovered. That's all that matters. That's all it will ever matter in this world. Who's covered and who's not covered. Now, what you see them doing is trying to scare you in other ways. It means scaring you to stay here. You never found it funny that all of a sudden before the bank crashes, they was running stories on nobody going to Mexico. And of course, you had four black people, two get killed and two got sent home, supposedly going down there for a cosmetic surgery. I don't know who the hell wants to go to Mexico for a cosmetic surgery. I don't know who trusts Mexicans. I ain't saying that the Mexican doctors ain't top tier, but come on. Most people go to South America to get top tier cheap surgery. Who goes to Mexico to get cosmetic surgery? But a black woman wanted to go down there and get cosmetic surgery, and you see what happened. Judgment. Then they went through this whole charade of, oh, they sent the perpetrators into the street with a letter around their neck or wherever saying they apologize for kidnapping some black Americans. Like, that's supposed to mean something. And then they run for the next 2 or 3 weeks of don't go to Mexico because, it's, you know, during spring break. They did the same programming with before COVID, before they knew COVID was coming. What were they doing? All of a sudden, people in Dominican Republic and the same hotel were dying. So to get you to stay still. That's what they do. They want you to stay still. They want you to feel this pain. And they do this by fear and panic. Look, we about to do something. We can't have them go to cheap countries. We can't have them go where their money can max out. Mexico, you can get your money's worth in Mexico, Tulum, like all those areas that they're building up. I've seen on YouTube gorgeous villas and cottages for cheap. So what do they do? They don't want you to flee. They don't want you to take your money into that system. Just like DR or any other country, they don't want you to take that money into, quote unquote, a third world country so you can reap the benefits and chill. They scaring you to stay, make you stay here. They don't, one, they want you to run on a bank when they want you to run on a bank, and they want you to leave this country when they want you to leave this country. And by that time, when you get ready to do what you're going to do, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. You see what they're doing to the water system here, don't you? All of a sudden, Minnesota, that river is tainted with some type of nuclear fallout that happened a month ago, but now we're just now hearing about it. Another train derailment, dumping diesel fuel into the river, into the water. They doing this on purpose, and people are literally dumbfounded of why things don't happen. And watch, like I said before, it won't matter to people until they can't buy water, until water is literally 50 bucks a pack. That's when people are going to wake up. It's when people start bitching and complaining, when it's already too late. When it's at your door is when people are going to start worrying about it. Because it's right now, it's no shaking. The ground ain't shaking underneath of them. They don't care. If I were you, I would invest in a generator. That blackout is coming. You might as well get a top-tier generator. I don't care if you live in a townhome. I don't care if you live in a condominium. I don't care if you live in a house or in the suburbs and out somewhere pitch black somewhere. It don't matter. You should get a generator. I may get a generator. Water and a generator and canned foods. That'll hold you. Because I'm telling you, the way people are moving, the way people act, and hot-tempered, and rage, and vengeful, people have been in the last couple of months or the last couple of years, I guarantee you there's going to be people shot and killed at grocery stores. Guarantee you. People are going to hold up grocery stores. They're going to hold up. You already seen these young kids going, like, as a mass rush, go into 7-Elevens, those little quick mini-mart stores, taking stuff. You see people stealing, like in broad daylight. I've seen videos of people literally stealing like deodorants, toothpaste, toothbrushes, just putting them in bags and walking off, even though they know they on film. That's how fed up people are with this system, but they can't really blame nobody but themselves because their decisions led them exactly to where they have to do the things they have to do. Because anybody who's really truly in the spirit, they would pray first. They would ask the Most High for at least for forgiveness and a way to provide for their family. But people are like brain dead. This whole thing about zombies, this ain't about no virus. It's about being zombies, being dead to this world, having a dead intellect, dead spiritually. Where you only see flesh, or you only think flesh. You only think of yourself. That's what narcissistic personality disorder is. Zombieism. I don't know if that's an ism, but I'm making it an ism. Being a zombie, that's what exactly what you are. You focusing on stupid stuff. Stuff that don't really truly matter. Because I see it, you want it. You feel it. And after you feel it, just like when zombies eat brains, they are never, you would think after zombies kill, eating all those people that you see zombies eating movies, they are never, their hunger is never quenched. They are never full. Doesn't that say that in the book of Enoch? When it talks about the spirits of the giants, that they will forever walk this earth thirsty, parched, never being full, never being quenched, dry, always thirsty. That's what people are becoming right now. Zombies. They'll never be satisfied with enough. Now, I've seen a small batch of a community that is slowly waking up and want more. They want a covering because now it's too late. Now it's too late to come out of feminism. Now it's too late to come out of these doctrines, this me doctrine. Now people are seeing it. Now you know that you had a good thing with somebody that wanted to provide and cover for you. Now you're so embarrassed and shame, you don't want to turn over a new leaf. So now you put your foot on the gas pedal and be like, I want more me. There's always going to be some young guy that's going to accept me for me. In the meanwhile, look who's raising these young men. Women who have no sense. Women who aren't covered themselves are raising men, raising their sons to be their men, to be their covering. So this is where you get a lot of weak, effeminate men. Just running their mouths, don't mean nothing, don't talk about nothing, don't stand for nothing, can't speak out about nothing. Weak men. When the lights go off, they're going to be weak men. They'll be like roaches in the dark. They're not going to stand for nothing. But because they have dreads all over their eyes, or I don't know, I can't even speak on what white folk be wearing and all that stuff. The Timothy Chalamet hairstyles I see white dudes be having, them big curly bangs. When them lights go off, no one's going to be able to do nothing. They're going to run back to their mama. They're going to run back to their parents' house. And they really try to shadow ban me because of this whole fake Trump arrest. Like I said this before, he is the brainchild of that whole Floyd Mayweather doctrine, or that whole Floyd Mayweather thing. They pick his opponents and they pick weak opponents. They have Floyd Mayweather fighting weak opponents. Weak opponents and a hurt Manny Pacquiao in order for him to keep that win record. And the whole time, what is people wanting? After a while, you wanted him to lose. The more he showed out and brought duffel bags full of money and throw it all over TV shows and act the way he act, you wanted him to lose. People kept buying those tickets to sit front row. Every time they kept hyping up a fight that he may lose to a specific opponent and then he beat him, it'd be just wasted money. So what do you think they did with that? They took that doctrine, they took that psyop and that ritual, and they moved it to Donald Trump. So they kept having him being arrested, or saying he was going to be arrested, or saying he's going to be indicted. Then they did a fake FBI raid on August 8th, which is the 88 Lionsgate portal. They keep doing this over and over again. They had black women or black politicians walk through with the articles of impeachment 3 or 4 times, and nothing happened. Not a damn thing happened to this man. They bringing back up the Stormy Daniels. They bringing back up January 6th. And they have not yet put anything on this man to have him walk into a courtroom. They get the same clowns, Michael Cohen, they get the same clowns. They be like, all right, let's go testify against them. Nothing happens. So all of a sudden now, him and Vladimir Putin are getting a suit or a warrant for the arrest, one for crimes against humanity or war crimes, and this one about other stupid stuff. He didn't even take a fall from that online college or that business college that he ran that he finagled money from. Nothing happens to these people because they're Freemasons. Nothing happens. But people getting excited because he's telling you, oh, I'm going to get arrested March 21st. I'm going to get arrested on Tuesday. Why would you think he say this? If you go to Gematria and type in Manhattan, which is New York, is where they put the warrant out. The arrest warrant is going to be at. It's going to be in New York. If you type in Manhattan, Jewish Gematria, 321. Oh, I'm going to get arrested on Tuesday, which is March 21st. So all you got to do is 321, 321. Oh, I want people to protest for me. I want people to, you know, stand up for me. This is not right. Why do you think they do this? Because March 22nd, the day after that, they're supposed to have this financial meeting of what's going to happen with the banking crisis. All they're doing is running a smoke screen in front of you. I've seen so many posts from Instagram to Reddit talking about, oh, he's getting arrested and all. That's all every people talk about. Like I said before, it's like a television remote. They're just changing the channel. And then they're going to smoke screen this specific meeting that's going to tell you the true truth of what they're about to do, but you won't hear it because we'll be talking about Donald Trump and whatever ignorance his followers do. You may see maybe a couple of protests, but you're not going to see nothing major. You're not going to see another January 6th, I can tell you that. I think the poor white folk who were gung-ho about Donald Trump, I think they kind of lost its fire. Because they understand that nothing happened. The whole voting suppression and all, they cheated and all that. I think that died out. The militias, that all these militias that we're not supposed to be having, but all these Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys, all that, you don't hear nothing about it, do you? You don't hear a word about it. Like I said before, they changed the channel. People don't even remember the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, and all the other dumb, ignorant, patriotic militias that popped up out of nowhere that didn't do nothing. But you hear four or five, it was thousands of people that ransacked that building, but you only hear four or five people here and there that got tried. Then you find out, like, oh, then they tell you after we've been telling you that whole thing was fake and they shadow banned us for saying it was fake, then they come out limping out of the barn with Tucker Carlson, who's a CIA agent. They come limping out the barn with, oh yeah, here we go. This is they were letting guys in. The shaman comes in and just walks around and then he says a prayer. Then they turn it from Nazis and fascism. Now they turn into evangelicals that ransacked the building. They control it. They control the narrative. And they don't want none of us to speak out against it. So we know what's going to happen. Then they show you a drone flying into a Russian jet or whatever and was getting sprayed with fuel. That makes no sense to me. But they showed you that when it happens. And they never really do that, do they? They never tell you when and they don't even really show you footage of anything running to anything else before. They wouldn't even let you see the Osama bin Laden raid. You only heard about it, and then you saw a movie about it. But soon as that Russian drone hit that plane, when you look at it, it looks like, I know it maybe be real, but when you look at it, it looks like CGI. Because it makes no sense of why a plane would spray fuel on a drone. Like, what's that supposed to do? Just shoot it out of the sky if you're going to shoot it out of the sky. Why are you going to spray fuel on top of it? Made no sense to me. But it looked fake to me. But why would they tell you this? Because they're getting ready to drop the hammer on this financial system and they need multiple things happening. They need multiple stories and narratives to overshadow what they what their intentions are. And people are not going to be able to keep up. Which brings me to Yeshayahu 30, which is Isaiah 30. And it's specifically to the children of Yasharel, and it's also those who are in this walk as well. Because this is going to happen because it's happened before. Woe to the rebellious children, says Yahuwah, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my Ruach, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Mitzrayim, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Mitzrayim. And that was with an exclamation point. So if America is second Egypt, and so when things got tough in Jerusalem and the Most High was going to punish his children again, what did we go do? Go run back to Egypt. Go run back to Mitzrayim to be saved. And that's exactly what a lot of you black Americans, awakened or unawakened, are going to attempt to do. That's what's going to happen. When things get tough and get hard, and you and all that foolishness that you've been doing don't pay off, all those celebrities you follow don't pay off, all those doctrines you follow don't pay off, what are you going to do? You're going to go back into Mitzrayim because you don't want to feel shame and accountability for your stupidity. So you're going to go into America and beg Pharaoh, the president, a politician, your pastors. You're going to beg them to tell you what to do. You're going to trust America to be your covering. When this financial crisis start pop off and you either you're out of work or your money gets snatched out of the deposit banks. Like I said this before, it's a spiritual war. That means it's a battle of the covered and the uncovered, period. Period. So when things get shaky with you and you haven't been doing these feast days, if you haven't been doing the Shabbats, if you haven't been, you know, really striving to be in the kingdom, you're going to be outside that kingdom, are you not? That's why I press so hard on a lot of you in the earlier episodes that it's time to stop playing. And when I say time to stop playing, I'm talking to myself too. Not means I'm not out here playing in the street, but I got to tell myself to keep myself on task. I'm just as shook as everybody else because I don't want my sins to come back and haunt me at a time that I'm going to need the Most High the most. And I'm telling you this because I know some of you are still playing. I can tell you some of you are still playing. This is not going to be about how smart I am if I move this money here and there and here and there. I'm telling you, when the Most High wants to send out some spirits to tell you to put your money in something in a bank that's going to get bought up, you wouldn't even know what to do. Did not the Most High harden Pharaoh's heart? Didn't I, in most multiple episodes, tell you when certain things happen with either Yaakov or Yitzchak, which is Isaac? Like I'm saying, I'm using the Hebrew names. When things happened to them, it was always in scripture saying this was from Yahuwah. Things happened. So you think the Most High don't play chess? Some of y'all, he gonna play you like checkers. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Mitzrayim your confusion. Keep playing. You can go on TikTok all you want and throw on 5011 filters to make yourself feel good. You can scrounge social media all you want, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to True Social to TikTok. You can scrounge every platform of social media and wonder and ask everybody what to do, except in the Most High. I'm telling you, it'll be your confusion, because you're going to be going or seeking advice from people who are just as confused and out of it as you are. And it's because no accountability and narcissistic personality disorder has sunk into the brains of these people. It's going to be the blind leading the blind. You would have better luck finding the hymen on a prostitute. Yeshayahu 30, verse 7. For Mitzrayim shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. You black Americans think y'all really going to get that reparation payments? I don't know why brothers keep sending it to me. Oh, they saying 5 million now. Oh, they saying 336,000 for everybody. They're not giving you Negroes reparations. And if you really actually read scripture in Genesis 15:14, the Most High says they are going to come away with abundance. They're going to come away with treasuries. They're going to come away with substance. That means coming out with something. Not debt fiat currency, not CBDC. You can't walk away with digital money. Why would the Most High allow you to walk up out of this country in the second Exodus with currency they're going to devalue? All they're doing is setting a trap for you ignorant Negroes still attached to this reparations doctrine. They're not going to give you or give us money. Some of us have washed our seed out in different nations already. It would be pointless for them to give us money because we were giving it back to our other children. Some of you Israelite brothers are caught up in interracial marriages. You think they truly going to be able to dictate who's been a slave and whose bloodline been a slave or not? Some of you are a product of interracial marriages. Y'all not getting that money. And the people who talking about reparations are talking about where slavery didn't even pop off at. They didn't. The Jesus of Lubeck ship didn't pull around to San Francisco. It didn't go to the Bay Area. Them slaves stopped in the East Coast, in the South Carolinas, North Carolina, Maryland, Virginia, Florida. That's where the slaves were dropped off at. You're not going to see Mac Dre fizzing off a boat in the Bay Area. But they're only talking about reparations in the West Coast. They're not talking about it in the East Coast, so you should know it's fake. LA is almost broke. Who's paying for this? Who's paying for this reparations? By the time they even give you that, they will attach something to it. They will say, if you want this reparations, hey, maybe you should go ahead and take this vaccine. Hey, if you want this money, come into one of our smart cities, which is nothing but a surveillance city, which is nothing but Big Brother, Real World, the MTV TV show. That's what your life is going to be like. And then they won't even give you a lump sum. They'll probably give you installments, bi-weekly installments, which would probably won't even mean nothing, because if they pull out that carbon tax, it'll attach itself to it. You don't know what these people be thinking about when they make these laws and bylaws and the very fine print when they give us something. They never give you anything in this country without something else attached to it. I really wish y'all stopped sending me that stupid reparations garbage. Y'all so excited because you broke. If anything, the Most High is going to allow us to leave up out of this land with their cars, their jewelry, their purses, their heels if you want it. Their stuff, their gold. That's what leaving with substance is. Now go write it before them on a table and note it in a sefer that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Now he says the time come. So when you hear that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that means this system will continually keep doing this, which means there's nothing new under the sun, which means it will happen again. Which means he's going to tell some of his people, like he's telling me right now, that to tell you that y'all better not go back into America because you're scared and you're panicking. If you want to save yourself from confusion, if I were you, I will find the true calendar on my own. I will find the true feast days on my own. And I will find the true Shabbat on my own. If you have questions, ask Yah. He will tell you, or he won't tell you. Then you know where you stand at. Then you know your relationship with him ain't really where it's supposed to be. And that's the point. That is the point. Is to develop the relationship so you know the signs of how he talks, the communication. Sometimes the Most High ain't going to just come out here and peek through the clouds. Hey, bro, you might want to make a left in the next 2 minutes. He's not going to do that. It's very subtle ways that the Most High talks. And if you don't have a relationship with him to know the subtleties in his communication, you're not going to be able to save yourself. You're going to be in confusion because you don't know what to do. Because you truly believe, if you're really in this walk, you truly believe that the Most High is going to send angels like he sent angels way back in the day to show up at your door to tell you when to move and pack your stuff. Those days are not happening. I wish they were, but they don't happen. The true test of faith and patience and long-suffering is for us to figure it out ourselves individually. And yes, develop a community, develop a spiritual Goshen where, yes, we can lead each other to different paths. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the Torah of Yahuwah, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. This is why the Most High has me talking, and he know I don't like talking. Because I can't give you deceit, and I don't talk smoothly. And I'm not going to give you right things. I got to tell you the horrible things and the things that's going to happen on the left side so you can eventually move your tail to the right and know when to duck. Wherefore thus says the Holy One of Yashareel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon. Which is more talking about the unawakened Israelites, those who don't know who they are. They get their oppression, their perverseness, for being in this land too long, for being in media too long, for listening to garbage too long. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall whose breaking comes suddenly at an instant. Number 15, for thus says Adonai Yahuwah, the Holy One of Yashareel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. So he's saying, your ass can run if you want to, but I'm not too far behind. That's what he's saying. But he said, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. I'm not running. I'm barely going outside my house. I'm at rest. I'm returning. As much as times I like to return as little as possible, which means I'm not adding sin upon sin upon sin in my household. So I'm not returning every 2 days or every other week. I'm trying to be saved in quietness and in confidence shall be my strength, because I see what's going on. They can shut a banner me all they want. In quietness, I can see what's going on. It'll be my strength because I know this system is not going to touch me as much as it's going to touch everybody else who is unawakened, who are not following these specific laws, statutes, and commandments. And that's the only thing that's going to save you. And I said this before. I'm going to say it throughout this entire show. It's going to be a battle between the covered and the uncovered. 18, and therefore will Yahuwah wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for Yahuwah is an Elohai of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him, For the people shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious unto you at the voice of your cry when he shall hear it, and he will answer you. And though Adonai give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not your teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When ye return to the right hand and when you turn to the left. What I just say before I read that verse? I'm trying to get you to go to see the left so you know when to go right and duck. There's people who are going to tell you this is the way. The Most High Spirit is going to tell you this is the way. It's on you to hear it. I can't make you hear it. I can't go, you know, climb through this podcast, open up your brain and pour it into you. The only way you're going to really truly understand is if you attempt to do it yourself. And stop making that excuse like, oh, I got faith. Because this could be your testimony or your testament could be how good you think your faith is. And it'll be embarrassing to you if you're tried and you buckle. And therefore will Yahuwah wait. For a man who don't have to wait for nothing, for a man who created all this, created you, created the tribes, the Torah, that went through all this work, giving us the water of affliction, giving us adversity to do all of this for us to not get it and still tell you, I'm waiting on you. I am waiting on you. To be gracious unto you. Fam, I don't know any man or any father or any God walking on this earth or above this. I don't know anybody else that could be as gracious and patient, long-suffering, and waiting on our ignorant asses as the Most High. I don't know any. Y'all don't have no friends that are like this. Y'all don't even have parents that are like this. That in itself should be it's time to stop playing. That in itself should tell you stop playing. But I could say stop playing, and 2 hours later, y'all could be having unlimited mimosas, getting ready to go to a Beyonce concert. I could be saying this, and y'all be getting ready to go do the Huckabuck TikTok dance in the middle of the street. I could be saying this, it'd be y'all walking out of the bar drunk somewhere and then you get in a car accident and then you really meet in judgment. I could keep saying this all over and over and over again. But if you don't have the fear of the Most High, if you don't have fear of your soul reaching damnation, I don't know what to do with you. I don't think he know. Well, the Most High knows exactly what's going to happen to you and he knows what to do with you. But it'd be a shame. It'd be embarrassing, really. It really would be embarrassing. For the Most High say he could be gracious unto you because he wants to be exalted, because we know the Most High is a jealous God, a jealous Elohim, a jealous Adonai, jealous El Shaddai. We know this. So really, he wants us to exalt him and praise him. The more, the merrier. Enough for him to want to wait on us. For people who literally came from Adam, I'm going to get into that later. Literally, people who came from Adam that has this defect in our bloodline, this defect in our spirit, that he could have really wiped us all off and could have just had animals down here. He could have gave animals with a higher intellect that animals could worship him. He could have wiped this entire globe off and be like, start over. This time, start over. This time, I'm just going to do animals. Matter of fact, I'm just going to do apes and monkeys. At least they'll know. I'll put it in their brains. At least they'll know. But to be patient and wait from the beginning of time to know exactly where we're going to end up and know how much wickedness would be in these end times, it's to still say, I'm waiting on you to be gracious unto you. I don't know why y'all would want to run back into America. I don't even know why y'all run back to it now. I don't know why you want to get involved in that political system when it has not bared any fruit. There is not one person can say me voting actually changed my life for the better. You're a liar if you literally said that. There is nothing that this government has ever provided you to be like, oh yeah, they really did that. They really saved me. And if they did, it's because of something you did. Or a spirit that you entangled yourself with. Or a generational curse that you wasn't man enough to be accountable for. And it overran you. Now, if you remember in the He Bitch episode, I talked about Ezra and the prophets and all of them having emotional turmoil within themselves. And mostly when it came to Baruch and Ezra, they were always having anxiety over why were all the nations been able to run rampant with sin and wickedness and we keep getting punished. I couldn't find the verse at the time I was mentioning it, but I found it now. It's the fourth book of Ezra. I'll speak from chapter 3. So obviously they're in Babylonian captivity. And when Ezra prayed, all of his prayers are magnificent and amazing because obviously his prayers were so good that the Most High heard them and would even send an angel to give answer or give word to him. So if you really want to know how to make a powerful prayer, if I were you, I would read the first five books of Ezra. And I would also read the books of Baruch because their prayers are magnificent. I formulate my prayers based on Ezra and Baruch, which means they give exalting, give praise and worship to the Most High, detailing everything the Most High has done. Then he goes into, why are we like this? Why are we like this? So I'll start at chapter 3. He goes, so the time has passed away and the years were brought to an end. And then did you raise up a servant called David, whom you commanded to build a city unto your name and to offer incense and oblations unto you therein. When this was done many years, then they that inhabited the city forsook you, and all things did even as Adam and all his generations had done, for they also had a wicked heart. And so you gave your city over into the hands of your enemies. Are their deeds then any better that inhabit Babel, that they should therefore have dominion over Zion? For when I came thither and had seen impieties without number, then my soul saw many evildoers in the 13th year, so that my heart failed me. For I have seen how you suffered them sinning and have spared wicked doers and have destroyed your people and have preserved your enemies. And I said this, I said, it's a logical explanation. If you want to look at America as Babylon, we know which is no second Egypt, but if you look at America as Babylon, you are watching celebrities act wicked on top of wicked, add sin upon sin, and you don't see nothing happen to them, but you see us go through travail. You see us go through suffering. You see us go through issues and problems. So it's natural for you to think, like, why ain't the Most High coming down and destroying these people that oppressing us, that are falling? We are following the Torah and following your commandments. We getting broken. We getting isolated. We're losing friends. We're losing family members. We're getting mocked and laughed at. We're getting hated. And pretty soon we're going to either get jumped or get drug out of our houses or something's going to happen. Like, where is the Most High? Why is he letting wicked people harm us or torment us? It was a logical question that Ezra asked. And I mentioned this because I saw something I didn't see before. But if you go to the next chapter over, of course, when the Most High sends his messenger, it's always a questionnaire that they have to fill out to even comprehend the ways of the Most High. So it's usually just like the Most High did Job, told me, weigh me fire, and what's the deep bottom of the deepest part of the ocean, stuff that man could never know. So Uriel, I'm going to go into why that name sounds familiar to you. Uriel and the angel that sent unto me, whose name was Uriel, gave me an answer and said, your heart has gone too far in this world and think you to comprehend the way of the Most High. Then said I, yeah, my Adonai. And he answered me and said, I am sent to show you three ways and to set forth three similitudes before you. Where if you can declare me one, I will show you also the way that you desire to see. And I'll show you from whence the wicked heart comes. So, of course, he goes into, then he said unto me, go your way, weigh me the weight of fire, or measure me the blast of the wind, or call me again the day that is past. And, of course, Ezra's like, I can't do that. But he said, but I'm not asking to know the ways of the Most High. He's saying, I want to know why we are always trodden down and other nations prosper around us being trodden down. When we go into our curses, they go into their blessings. And I said this before in my previous show, that the reason why all these multitude of nations are going to be wiped out, because they were able to succeed off of our curses. That transatlantic slave set up nations. Since we don't go in, since we're not into our kingdom and we are not reigning in our righteousness, that means everybody else could reign over top of us and use us. So nations and kingdoms and royalties have been set up off our black backs, even this country. Okay? And so Ezra's saying, like, why are we like this? Why do we not see Babylon falling? Why we don't see Joe Biden just fall out of the sky somewhere? Why we keep seeing this wickedness? Why are we seeing all these rappers murdering their own relatives to be famous? Why are we seeing this and they're not getting judged? That's a common thing to want to know. But of course, the reason why you hear that name Uriel, because if you go to the Testament of Solomon, which is like it's a small book, you can get that on Amazon. But it goes into the Testament of Solomon. Solomon was meeting up with demons to know their powers, their responsibilities, and who governs them. So, in verse 10, and Solomon said to him, tell me, O demon, to what zodiacal sign thou art subject? And he answered, to the water pourer, which is Aquarius, and those who are consumed with the desire for the noble virgins upon earth. These I strangle. But in case there is no disposition to sleep, I am changed into three forms. Whenever men come to be enamored of women, I metamorph myself into a comely female, and I take hold of the men in their sleep and play with them. So, my brothers, if you think you're dreaming of your ex or having sex with your ex or having sex with women in your dreams, my brother, it may be a male demon that you having sex with. He's just coming in. He transformed himself. So you out there thinking you having a whole orgy in your dream, fam, it's most likely male demons that's playing around with you. Because he says, I play with them. And after a while, again, I take to my wings and hide me to the heavenly regions. I also appear as a lion, and I am commanded by all the demons. I am the offspring of the archangel Uriel, the power of God. The archangel Uriel. So, of course, Uriel had a child by a woman. At the time, everybody was black. By a black woman that became a giant. And then when the Most High told Enoch to get the fallen angels to get their children to fight each other, to kill each other, obviously those disembodied spirits roamed this earth, and this is that demon. So Uriel can't even go up to them, talk to the Most High, but the Most High can say, hey, well, because you did this, you're going to get your, you're going to watch your children die. Your giants, those Nephilim, the Rephaim, I'm going to make you watch them die. And the reason why Uriel is not imprisoned right now is because they'd be like, all right, cool. I'll just be a watcher. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Even as a son of the Most High, as far as an angel, and you call Uriel, which means the power of God, which means you're a pretty powerful angel. That means you could talk that most angels probably can't speak about. So it was Uriel that was sent to Ezra to tell him, you can't comprehend the ways of the Most High. Even Uriel, who can't go back to heaven, they have to be judged. We're going to see these angels getting judged. It will be a magnificent sight. I'm literally, I want to walk right just so I can see this sight. Could you imagine how beautiful and amazing these angels look? And you're going to be looking at them, and they're going to be looking at you. You're going to be looking at them, and they're going to be looking at you. And you're going to be looking at them, and you're going to be looking at you. And y'all ain't going to have no wings, no nothing. Y'all going to just be flesh waiting for judgment. And y'all going to see these magnificent beings. But like, damn, you just had to roll out with Satan? Like, you just had to disobey? Like, fam, look where we going and look where you heading. That's the whole point of this war. This is the whole point of this life. I wish it was a better way that we could pick and choose, but we don't get to pick and choose. We don't get to really pick and choose our paths. If you in this, you got to be in this. If you not, fam, I don't want you to pick a path that you were not in this. You imagine going into hell, going into judgment with angels? That's the whole part. This is what this war is really all about. I really wish I could say more, but I don't want to be long-winded. But I'm gonna leave you with this, because I already talked enough, and y'all getting too spoiled when I do two episodes in one day. I'm not even gonna do an episode for next week. I'm not. But I want to get this out, so this can rest with you for 2 weeks. If you go to chapter 4, Ezra. Not chapter 4, but book 4, Ezra, chapter 2. I'm gonna leave you with this. Because I want you to understand what's supposed to happen. If you want to look at America as Babel, I'm telling you what Ezra saw during his captivity. The visions that he got. That's why I keep pushing the book of Ezra and Baruch on you so much. Because it's all there. You could take everything they said and apply it to right now. And what's coming is coming soon. Verse 27. Be not weary, for when the day of trouble and heaviness comes, others shall weep and be sorrowful, but you shall be merry and have abundance. The heathen shall envy you, but they shall be able to do nothing against you, says Yahuwah. My hands shall cover you, so that your children shall not see Sheol. Be joyful, O mother, with your children, for I will deliver you, says Yahuwah. Remember your children that sleep, for I shall bring them out of the sides of the earth and show mercy unto them, for I am merciful, says Yahuwah Sabaoth. Embrace your children until I come and show mercy unto them, for my wells run over and my grace shall not fail. Be ready to the reward of the kingdom, for the everlasting light shall shine upon you forevermore. Flee the shadow of this world. Receive the joyfulness of your glory. I testify my Savior openly. Oversee the gift that is given you and be glad, giving thanks unto him that has led you to the heavenly kingdom. Arise up and stand, behold the number of those that be sealed in the feast of Yahuwah, which are departed from the shadow of the world and have received glorious garments of Yahuwah. Take your number, O Zion, and shut up those of yours that are clothed in white, which have fulfilled the Torah of Yahuwah. And this is the vision that Ezra was able to see. I, Ezra, saw upon Mount Zion a great people whom I could not number, and they all praised Yahuwah with songs. And in the midst of them, there was a young man of high stature, taller than all the rest. And upon every one of their heads, he set crowns. And was more exalted, which I marveled at greatly. So I asked the angel and said, Sir, what are these? He answered and said unto me, These be they that have put off the mortal clothing and put on the immortal, and have confessed the name of Elohim. Now are they crowned and receive palms. Then said I unto the angel, What young person is that crowns them and gives them palms in their hands? So he answered and said unto me, It is the Son of Elohim, whom they have confessed in the world. Then began I greatly to commend them that stood so stiffly for the name of Yahuwah. There goes your Yahusha. There goes your Messiah, your Mashiach. Giving the people crowns, royalty. Because they waited on Yahuwah. Because they fled the shadow of this world. This garbage matrix with these garbage people and their garbage tactics, garbage doctrines. He didn't say flee the light of this world, which all these stupid Freemasons keep bragging about, darkness to light. Because we know the day of Yahuwah is not light, it's darkness. So by fleeing the shadow of this world, to be clothed in white, to be having crowns on our heads, that really should do something to you. So that we should stop walking around here calling each other kings with no kingdom. We in captivity still. In the land of our captivity. And some of you who are waking up, you Gentiles that are waking up, this is your captivity too. America's gone bye-bye. You shouldn't even be calling yourself patriot. None of you, nowhere, regardless of where you at, what country you in, you shouldn't be patriots anymore. Because this new world order is coming. And I'm telling you, you're not going to want to be a patriot to that. It's not going to make you feel very patriotic. You should want to flee the shadow of this garbage-ass world. Everything they do is trash. Everything they do, they get is attached to a lie to it, and they make fun of you doing it. I have no problem with them shadow banning my account. I could care less. Most people aren't supposed to know. All they want to do is twist the words and make themselves higher than the Most High's word. Oh, I know more than you. Oh, I know more than this. Oh, you should do this for Bitcoin. You should do that. Everybody has a think tank. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a think piece. But I haven't heard not one person say, I follow these feast days. I follow this Shabbat. This is what I do. I don't get no emails about that. I don't get no text messages about that. I don't get anything about anything. But it's always somebody's think piece. What are you doing to serve the Most High? Being smart in spirit ain't the same as being obedient in spirit. There's a lot of people who are dumb who are being obedient. There's a lot of people who are smart who think they're being obedient. You're trying to outsmart yourself. And you think by outsmarting yourself, you can outsmart the Most High. It'll be your confusion. I wish I could tell you more. But the reason why I'm not doing an episode next week is because I came into a new situation. I really didn't want to talk about it, but it's in my heart to talk about it, and I'm happy. So it's been a new situation, a new introduction, a new courtship, a new thing that's being introduced to me that is... It's bearing so much fruit right now, I can barely talk about it now. But it's bearing fruit for me. And I want to bask in that fruit. I want to eat of this soil. Because the soil is good, the fruit is good. And right now I'm cultivating this particular fruit. And I'm amazed by this fruit. Amazed. Maybe I share it with you the week after next or whatever, but I have to see you guys another time. I spoil you guys too much with these double episodes. But hear what I said. Take what Sister Michaela Bryant said to heart. Take where she's at in her life. I know a lot of you could resonate with her life story. It's not easy to be isolated. It's not easy to do this walk, but because you are set up, because your life has a set plan for you to wake up and you use the tools which are given to you in your past, you can use that into open up other people's eyes and put in out the work. So you know you'll be covered because you're helping others. If you're only helping yourself, you don't need the covering. Because your reward is for you to gratify yourself, not serving others, and definitely not serving the Most High. One thing she said, I love that she said, there's going to be some action behind this faith. I love that she said that. This is very quotable. Action behind this faith. Y'all think on that.